When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, that is not the Christmas song that science has determined is most dangerous to your health. Shime, filling in for Courtney, will get to what that song is during the news coming up in just about a half an hour at 7:45 on a Thai Tuesday. Thai Law on with us at 9, but right now this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, time for a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday. Where do you want to start, Chime?
Well, Greg, let's start post-game from last night. Jamar Chase in the Cincinnati Bengals win over the Dallas Cowboys talked about if he would like to run it back with his guys, Joe Burrow and T. Higgins. Here was his exchange with the reporter post-game.
How much do you think, Jamar, about running it back with you, T, and Joe just one more season if you could? Do you think about that at all?
I do think about it sometimes. You know, it runs my mind. That actually ran my mind. He asked me what I was thinking about before the toss, and when I was sitting down, that actually ran across my brain. But I try not to think too much of it. You know, that's really out of my control. I wish I could sign T myself and have him with me, you know, for eternity. But, you know, some things don't work that way.
That's your moonshot, Wiggy.
Yeah, there it is.
Jamar Chase to the Pats.
Yep.
You think you're able to pry him loose?
I know Boomer always tells us there's no way in hell, but if he's frustrated and they're not willing to make him the highest paid wide receiver or one of the top two, then why can't he be open for business?
I mean, I think the way Drake May has played helps a little bit, right? Like, you should be somewhat of a destination.
Right.
You're building a new football headquarters, so there will probably be a game room and billiards and maybe some kind of a swimming pool or something by 2025.
Well, so, when you think it really is the money with him, because he held out wanting a new deal. So is Cincinnati willing to give him $100 million and what they give Justin Jefferson, $120 million in guaranteed money? So are they willing to give him close to that?
Yeah, I don't think so, but I don't know. It'll be an interesting offseason. There will certainly be people, if not on the free agent market, on the trading block. Mm-hmm. And if I ran things today, this is what I would do. I would trade back from 5-4, wherever they are, 3.
Keep losing,
three
you might
right
be
now,
one.
I think, right?
Yeah,
and so I would try and get multiple first-round picks. So that team's first and another first. I would trade one of those firsts for a known commodity that would take over as a receiver or likely a receiver. I would trade a first
round. Like a day one known commodity wide receiver, you know, maybe not an A, but an A minus.
A minus, yeah.
Like a Deebo Samuel?
Right.
An A.J. Brown who's frustrated?
I would do A.J. over Deebo, I think.
Right.
Well, who knows? Somebody, but that's what I would do. I would get multiple first round picks, use one of those first round picks to get a known commodity at your area of your biggest need.
That's what I would do. That's why the more you lose, the higher your draft status will go up.
But I think things have changed, at least when it comes to Drake May and making this a destination. Mm-hmm. Like, you got the quarterback, so there are going to be, I think, guys who are going to want to play with him.
Yeah, as long as you cut them the check.
And there will be coaches that might be more interested in coming here.
Yeah. All right, what's next, Shine?
Well, Greg, one of the big topics for us has been Bill Belichick and his reported conversations with the University of North Carolina. Well, Bill Belichick was on the Let's Go podcast with the ever awesome Jim Gray. here was Bill Belichick talking about the idea of college and if he's even interested in breaking the Shula record in the NFL. Here was Bill Belichick.
You know, I think the college game is closer to the pro game than it's ever been with the new kind of landscape in college football. So, you know, I've explored it and we'll see how it works out.
I think it's widely assumed that you'd like to win another Super Bowl. And I think it's widely assumed by those of us who make these assumptions that you'd like to break Don Shula's record. Is that and are those two things in the forefront of your mind?
Yeah, Jim, I don't have any set goals. I'm open to different opportunities going forward and I'll just evaluate them as they come.
All right.
I mean, he's back to not saying anything.
Right.
The media fascination thing for him is about over. So
yeah. They actually said that direct thing.
Did he?
Yeah, that's
he
a good did. Pull
he
by
said,
you.
He said that.
Yeah, because Jim Gray was like, it sounds like you're already back on the sideline. And Bill said, yeah, we're on to Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like he's in that mode.
He even said on Pat McAfee yesterday, I want to get my press conference, quote unquote, aura back.
Yeah. He definitely wants to coach.
Yes.
So, I guess maybe it doesn't matter to him whether it's the NFL or college.
At least that's what it sounds like, right? Because even with Jim Gray, the whole speculation, it seems like he just loves to coach. And
do you believe him that, I mean, I believe him is hard to, do you think he doesn't care that much about the Shula record?
I personally don't think he does.
I don't think he does.
I mean, like, I've had conversations with him, like, after my playing days. And for him, he loves to coach. He loves to teach the game of football. And he just that's his biggest thing. And obviously winning is part of that, part of the coaching element, but it's not like, oh, I'm only doing this to break the record. He just loves to coach. He's the only guy you can ask about football questions. He'll talk about stories that happened 40 years ago in an obscure game of some guy on a punt return.
But I have to say, I think that one thing that drives him, and I respect it, is grievance. And he's always hated the Jets because of what the Jets did to him. And I have always believed deeply that after that docuseries came out, he wanted to go and stick it to Kraft.
Yeah, he probably wants to prove Robert Kraft wrong.
And you don't do that in college.
Right, right. Well, coming up in about 10 minutes at 7:20 or thereabouts, we'll hear what he said to Pat McAfee yesterday about what he envisions his college program being like and how it might be different, I guess, than others. What else, Shine?
My guy, Drake May, was on with the afternoon program yesterday, and I thought this response was interesting. Jerod Mayo on our program yesterday morning talked about how turnovers were such a big deal. I think that was in response to a great Wiggy question. Drake May was then asked about the turnovers, and it's interesting which part of his turnovers he feels most responsible for or needs to be fixed and is most important in his mind. Here was Drake May about the turnovers.
Yeah, I think it's tough balance. I think just emphasis on balls carried in the pocket. I think the fumbles are the biggest thing that I think have hurt us and where they've been at, in our own side of the field and especially timing. I think kind of end of the game, interceptions, I think those are obviously those I'd like to have back, but at the same time, I'm trying to win the game. It's like I'm trying to throw interceptions. So I think that's the goal. And I think there's an even balance of me going to make plays and trying to take care of the ball. So I think some of them have a few tip ones recently that have been kind of kind of unfortunate. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, we're moving the ball well. We got guys making plays. You know, we're fighting. We're staying in these games. A lot of these one-score games, we've got to come up the right side of them, and I think we're going through down the road. So, you know, nothing too, you know, really trying to focus in on, you know, like little things like two hands in the pocket, or, you know, hey, throw a check down, you know, little stuff like that can go a long way and not turn the ball over.
I don't think he cares about the interceptions.
There have been some, like Jones, our guy, who have been all over him for turnovers.
Right.
And I don't put many on him.
Yeah, the interceptions, I agree with him on. You know, he's trying to win games.
But even like a sack fumble, that's the offensive line in my mind.
So there's a couple of them. The Rams one, you're right, Greg, not his fault. But I want to say it was the Miami game where he was trying to hold off the defender with one hand, had the ball in his other hand, and it got slapped out. Like, that's a mistake he can't make.
Well, okay, it pains me to say this, but at least he's not doing the Mac Jones, which Mac Jones did
amazing
on Sunday, where he's getting sacked and he just lofts the ball
so
up 15 yards as high as he can possibly throw it.
Absolute art.
So a defender has time to get under it.
Like it's a hot potato.
Mac Jones is like, hey, let me throw this up into the air 50 feet so that you have time to get under it and intercept it.
Isn't it wild that it's never been easier in terms of the rules all being created to protect the quarterback, yet it seems like some are playing the position worse than it's ever been played.
It's unbelievable.
Mac Jones is so awful.
Yeah, well, we knew that from day one, but Brady even said it. I think it was on the broadcast where he said, And this is something that Drake May is just gonna have to get better at, and he'll get better at as he plays more. You just have to have, sometimes you have to have a feel in the pocket for when, all right, I haven't gotten rid of the ball, because Brady was talking about how a guy got sacked and he was like, he should be able to feel that pressure.
Meaning that I haven't, it's 3-4 seconds or whatever, I just have to get rid of the ball.
Yes.
Whether it's blindside or not.
Right. Yeah. And you know, and that just comes with time where you start to feel the pressure. Even though you're looking downfield, you start to feel that pressure around you. So then you might take that ball a little bit more high and tight to your body.
Yeah. So. Can I throw in a very quick, we don't have the audio of it, but it's a very, I thought, quick funny quote, not funny, but a sad quote about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Shailene Woodley, is that how you pronounce her name?
Yes.
The actress.
Yes.
She spoke to Outside Magazine about her relationship. Quote, I haven't shared much about my relationship with Aaron because it always makes me cry. It was not right. She said that she had a really awful traumatic thing happen to her during their relationship. She said that they went on a retreat and it was completely toxic, and that he kept her feeling that he kept dictating how she would feel, and she said that he was just an awful, awful human being.
Huh.
Which is wild.
Yeah. Well, she's a great actress, by the way.
Who awesome. Is she?
She was in Big Little Lies. Was that
correct,
show?
Correct, the HBO show.
She, very beautiful woman and very talented actress. Like, that's sad. So, wouldn't you expect that if he's a full-blown narcissist that it's going to be a toxic relationship?
Oh,
who the hell knows?
Yeah.
I mean, we're supposed to believe a woman who was scorned?
Whoa.
I mean, I went on a retreat with Rogers, Aaron, the guy I dated, and he broke up with me. And he was a great guy. Okay. Like,
you always defend.
Well, she broke up with him.
You always defend the athlete.
No, I mean, I find it interesting when people are in relationships and while they're in the relationship, it's all, you know, rainbows and like my man Zoe says, unicorns. And then as soon as the relationship ends,
everything was awful.
No. Years later, you know what? This guy.
He was toxic.
He was toxic. He took me on a retreat one time, and he locked me in this dark room. Stop it.
We went on a darkness retreat, and there was no light.
Hey, stop it.
Also, why are you going on a retreat with your significant other?
Like, I mean, you could have stopped it. Why are you going on a retreat?
Yeah, correct.
I mean, you're dating this guy. How long didn't they date for a while?
I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting quote.
Yeah, I always love how the quotes are very, like, Giselle did it with Brady. Like, the quotes are always towards the guy. Listen, I'm not an Aaron Rodgers, like, fan for his personality, but they're always so, like, negative how he treated her in the relationship. But yet you stood with him for all those years?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, you know.
You stood with Rodgers or Giselle stood with Brady for all those years, and he treated me so poorly.
Well, Danica Patrick went complete low blow on him and suggested that he was not very good in bed.
Right. She made him see like he was a simp.
He wasn't good at a certain a certain way of offering pleasure to somebody else. Apparently.
His foreplay is the Ben Shapiro podcast.
I feel like at his age he ought to have at least mastered that.
Well, but if he's not doing it a lot, maybe you know
maybe that's the problem. Yeah, probably waiting to get his back scratched.
Well, you would think he'd be getting many reps at it, but clearly Rodgers is not.
He's like, not until you scratch my back first for an hour. All right. Well, anyway, that is They Said It, a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. And here is Scheim filling in for Courtney, who somehow got chosen to be on a jury yesterday with what is trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by the 99. We saw Monday Night Football last night as the Bengals took down the Cowboys 27-20, ending all hope for Dallas to make the playoffs this year. And that came in large part thanks to a Dallas special teams blunder late in that game. The Celtics have a few days off. They'll welcome the Pistons to the Garden on Thursday. The Bruins are in Winnipeg to take on the Jets tonight. And we have the Heisman finalists for you. Ashton Jaunte, the running back from Boise State. Dylan Gabriel, quarterback at Oregon. Cam Ward, the quarterback at Miami. And Travis Hunter, the corner/receiver at Colorado.
Shouldn't it go to... Is the Heisman... Is it just the best player in college football, or does it...
It's not like an MVP, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, so, okay.
No,
so,
it's the best player in college football.
Correct.
So it doesn't matter, like, what that player's team's record is.
No.
To be fair, all these guys that have been nominated all have good records, and that's generally how it goes. You generally have to have... Or you're generally playing really well if your team's also playing well, but...
Okay.
No, I was just asking if it was like a stat, you know.
It is for outstanding performance, which best exhibits the pursuit of excellence with integrity, which is why OJ's is no longer his.
All right. We missed that entire beginning part because your microphone was off.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you for that.
It's for the outstanding performance, which best exhibits the pursuit of excellence with integrity.
All right. Whatever that means, I guess the best player.
Scheim has gained a lot of confidence on this program over the last bunch of months. I really like it.
I love it.
I really commend you. Not only are you producing a great radio program, but you, sir, are rising to the level of the tippity top of talent around this building.
You know, Greg, I appreciate your support of me, and I'm just, you know, keep grinding. When the bat signal goes up, Batman arrives. That's how it works.
I mean, pigs in a blanket, mashed potatoes, not your thing, but...
Nope, I'm going to stay away from those.
Radio is.
Damn right.
Found your calling.
Trending Now was brought to you by the 99. If you want good mashed potatoes, go there and don't ask for mine. You've got to try the 99 restaurants. Do $14.99 big deal meals for a hearty full-size entrees for just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday, like the roasted turkey dinner or the juicy chopped sirloin. You got to love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
38 degrees in Boston feels like 30. Afternoon high, 44.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
So that was Bill Belichick waxing philosophically on what his college program would be like if capital F, he were to take the job at UNC or another job. And where's the wall that I run through after hearing that? I hear that.
Right.
Changed my mind a little bit yesterday. Like, I believe, Curtis and I disagree on this, I believe that there will be NFL jobs that are available to Bill Belichick, but I heard that yesterday, and I paused for a moment, and I thought maybe Bill is looking at this like a challenge, mm-hmm. like he has the opportunity to do a college football program like it has never been done before. And so,
well, if you want to go full circle, where did we first find out that Bill was likely going to be out of all this? It was with Robert Kraft on College Game Day, when Robert Kraft was told by Pat McAfee,
yes,
that he knows he has to do some difficult things. Now Bill Belichick going full circle with Pat McAfee yesterday.
Yeah.
I find it to be such a dud going to go to North Carolina. Like, I'm sure he'll do a great job. I think it'll be great for him as a dad to be with his kids and set them up. And he, of course, will have a far better ability than most every other coach in college football to prepare and to excel. And I'm sure it'll challenge him in ways that, you know, tickle his fanny, as we would say. But if this happens, it is the first set of good news for Robert Kraft in a long time.
Well, Frisco Jack 1970 in the Twitch chat has a question for you, and you have to answer honestly, Curtis.
I do every day.
Then I'll ask Wiggy and Shime. Courtney is off at jury duty this morning because she somehow got chosen for a trial. But which would occur first? Bill Belichick wins a national championship at UNC, or the New England Patriots win a Super Bowl?
Oh, geez. I would say it's more likely that Bill would win a national championship.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I mean, but still, I mean, I would say that it's not, I don't think it's, the odds of Bill Belichick winning a national championship, I would put it about 15%.
But he could make the college football play. I mean, he could win the ACC in his second year.
Yeah, and then once you're in, you see it every week in college football, especially you'll see it in the playoffs. You'd be like, oh, you know, a team that you expect to win gets beat by one of these teams. And especially if you're a good enough coach, now that we see how like important coaching is for coaching decisions and, you know, situational football. And we see it in the NFL, guys making, you know, dumb mistakes all the time. Coaches, we just talked about Sean McDermott and the Buffalo Bills. So I think that will get, I know he loves to coach, but I'm with you, Greg. I know there'd be an NFL team that would give him a chance. That's why I think it's more he's using this to show NFL
but
teams.
He might look at it like he's done with the nonsense that occurs in the NFL, and he may feel like that doesn't occur in college. Like what, though? Well, we were talking about it earlier, like the meddling family members when it comes to an NFL team. He may be done with that nonsense.
All right.
He may look at the situation here and be like, I basically bled for this place for 20 years.
Making $30 million a year.
He was paid $30 million a year, and he earned it.
Of course. So
he may look at it and go, on the way out, I was kicked and they created a whole entire documentary series to basically talk about how awful I was. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe
I
could see that element because you could be tired of the micromanagement or the, like you said, whether it's meddling owners, meddling kids owners, where you could just be tired of that and you just love to coach football so much. When you get into college, like the AD's not going to bother you. The president's not going to meddle.
Why is he worried about Shad Khan's son?
Well, but I think Greg's point is maybe Shad Khan's son is a meddler, and Bill's done with that. He's like, I want to finish my last 3-4 years coaching what I love to do, and I want to do it on my terms, and I don't want no meddling owner coming in saying, oh, you can't get that guy. That guy's going to cost you too much money, blah, blah, blah,
blah.
Well,
I mean, I don't know about you, but I would say, at least at BC with Father Leahy, the school presidents are not exactly flexible in many cases. So the devil you know may be better than the devil you don't. And I would also add, on that dais that day, when Bill and Robert had that awful press conference, there is not a chance in hell that Bill Belichick stood there thinking 2 years later he would not be coaching in the NFL. This is a reaction to others' reaction about what they view of his ability to lead an NFL team with absolute power.
No, you know what this is? He probably is thinking that way. There's not a chance in hell I coach college. But I think this might be one college finally having the courage to say, hey, Bill, is there any interest? You coach college football. And he probably was like, well, I never even thought about that. And you know, maybe this
You heard him last night We played the audio during They Said It, where he said the college program is very similar to the NFL now.
Right, without the meddling pot.
Correct.
So that could be the element that he – because the question you need to ask, does Bill Belichick just love coaching football? And does it matter to him whether it's at the college or the NFL level?
I think it does, and I think the fact that we're 2 years after, 2 years out roughly from mm-hmm. his firing here, and he's had been given one interview in yep. the NFL for a head coaching job, right. That is shocking. And I wonder if it's the same nonsensical, envious residue mm-hmm. that is impacting Robert Kraft's ability to get into Canton, that these teams, for whatever reason, hate the amount of winning they did, hate Belichick, because it doesn't make sense. Bill Belichick should be getting interviews for an NFL job. Like, none of this is, like, the whole thing is baffling.
Why do you think he's not? I think it's very simple. What do we know about 99.9% of owners? They're egotistical maniacs that are billionaires. You don't think that Robert has picked up the phone and the word is out there? Like, listen, Bill's a great coach, but if you work with him, it's going to be, if you hire him, it's going to be a major headache.
But Curtis, you're assuming that Bill is interested in this college position only because he hasn't heard from other owners.
Absolutely.
You don't know that.
I don't know anything. It's my opinion.
Right. But I might argue that there have been owners that have second-handed it through his agent or however they have to do it, and that he might be looking at college and saying, my last, you know, 3 or 4 years, whatever it is, doing this, I want to do it in a different place where there's not all the nonsense that happens when you're coaching in the NFL.
Right. I'm just using the words that were associated with him yesterday in NBC Sports, where they said he's, quote, very surprised. Bill Belichick is very surprised that he hasn't heard from more NFL teams. So that's not my opinion. That's a report. And there's just it's staggering to me that he is not going to be on an NFL sideline next year. In a million years, I would have never guessed it. I thought Bill Belichick was, I thought Robert Kraft screwed up in not trading for a pick instead of firing Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And now we're sitting here, and it's 2 weeks away from Christmas, a year later, 2 years later, and he doesn't have a job.
What do you think his buddy Nick Saban is saying? Like, do you think Nick Saban is encouraging him when it comes to doing this?
Yeah, there was a thing.
Saban said he hated it and got out of it right now.
No, there was a thing out there with Nick Saban, like an interview not too long ago, just recently. Said,
on Saturday.
Yeah, Bill would do a great job as a coach in college. So
Bill's an outstanding coach. He's very well organized. He's a good teacher. I think he relates well with the players. So I think he would do a great job in college. The only thing that would be different is recruiting. But as you say, relationship building is not as important. Not that Bill wouldn't be good at that. It's not as important now that you pay players. I think it becomes a little bit more about, you know, the money and the deal that you make with them. So it is a little bit more like pro football. So, and I think Bill knows how to manage that and would do a good job.
Yeah, and the people that are saying in the Twitch chat that he was under contract, that's why. He interviewed for the Falcons job last year. So if the contract precludes you from speaking with teams, mm-hmm. then how was he able to sit down on the yacht with Arthur Blank and go visit the facility?
Well, maybe because the season was over. When he did that, the season was over. That was all off season, so he wasn't technically in like a tampering period because the season was over, and that was after January.
If the job became available, he'd be able to interview at any point.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
He's not currently employed as in a day-to-day right. operator for the Patriots.
Right, but he's not technically employed by the Patriots, but he's being paid by the Patriots. I don't know how that works, but.
Correct.
The Patriots had a ton of people on their staff that were being paid by other organizations still.
All right. So I don't know. I don't really hold a lot of weight into that. I just think that when you look at Bill and you look at teams last year, I think that some of those teams that were looking for a coach weren't in on Bill because I don't think they felt like Bill could instantly turn around. I think they felt like it was going to be more of a longer process to build that organization back up. And I don't think they felt like it was worth paying a guy for 3 or 4 years.
Well, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you're an NFL team and you want to hire Bill,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have to pay the Patriots. So, and I don't know for what period of time that would be, right? Am I wrong about that?
No, you wouldn't have to pay the Patriots.
Well, no, the Patriots would just stop paying Bill, right?
he's under contract with them. Like,
well, right, so the Patriots would.
You don't know what. Nobody knows how long that contract is. What it is, or
but
yeah,
that would be another reason that he would be more desirable by that team. Because then the Patriots are on the hook for $30 million minus whatever you pay them.
They might be, or they, you know, it's another negotiation that you have to do. Robert Kraft might say, no, you can't have him. You're going to have to pay me.
But they fired him.
No, they fired him. It would all just be about salary. It has nothing to do with compensation.
Yeah,
because I'm not sure if he's probably, you know, he would probably be done being paid from the Patriots after this year. I have no clue.
Matt Patricia was given a title that was basically assistant to the regional manager here. Because he was still being paid by the Lions,
yes,
and the Patriots were on the hook for nothing. This is one of the reasons Robert Kraft isn't in the Hall of Fame, because owners are so mad that the Patriots took advantage of that loophole for so long, hiring coaches who had been fired, thereby getting cheap labor.
Right.
So Bill Belichick should be even more appealing to other teams.
Because a coach's contract is fully guaranteed.
Right.
And I don't know if, like in college, they have buyouts. I'm not sure if they have that in the NFL. But I just think that I think it's not really about the money. I think it's more about the organizations last year and not feeling like Bill would be able to turn their organization. Other than the Chargers, but I think they were hell-bent on Harbaugh.
Yeah.
You know, I don't buy that. Teams, here's what I would ask the question. If they don't want to hire Bill, NFL teams, why?
Because if you're a bad team.
Maybe it's his age.
Yeah, I would say if you're a bad team, you need to begin a prolonged rebuild. And you know Bill at best is there for 3 to 4 years. Yeah.
Right, that eliminates the bad teams. But
well, usually the bad teams are the ones with open jobs.
Yeah, that's right.
But that would mean, but see, I think there's still a team that goes, we're just a coach away. Do you think the Bucs felt they were a bad team when they took on Brady?
No, but I think that was an offseason, and players can have a more quick impact than coaches in terms of turning the season around.
All right. Well, it is interesting, certainly, that it appears the discussions are ongoing between Bill Belichick and the University of North Carolina. So we will keep you updated on that. You could talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Courtney is off at jury duty. Shime will fill in for her on the news next. And science has apparently determined the Christmas song which is most dangerous to your health. We will get to that and the rest of the news next.
It's time for...
She's spoken at lunch with two popular hosts of WEI, two popular radio personalities.
The news.
She was spotted during trial at expensive restaurants, dining with lawyers, radio hosts, or social media influencers.
With your host, Courtney Cox.
Wiggy sold me a bill of rights.
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, with 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com.
I've made an error.
On WEEI.
Well, Courtney got chosen for a jury, so she will be out for as long as the trial goes on. But Shime stepping right up and filling in with today's news. Hello, Shime.
Good morning, Greg. Well, first off, we officially have a suspect in the United Healthcare CEO shooting from last week. The 26-year-old Luigi Mangione was arrested in the fatal shooting of the United Healthcare CEO. He was apparently caught thanks to a tip from a McDonald's employee in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Those McDonald's employees, they'll get you.
Well, it was a guy. Apparently, it was an older guy who was at the McDonald's and then went to the employee and said, "This dude looks like the pictures that I've seen all over the place." Mm. And so they were able to bust him. We have some audio on this.
Yeah, we can hear from Pennsylvania Governor Shapiro.
I have no tolerance, nor should anyone, for one man using an illegal ghost gun to murder someone because he thinks his opinion matters most. In some dark corners, this killer is being hailed as a hero. He is no hero.
That is the most disturbing part of this. Like, people that appear otherwise normal and rational celebrating an assassination of a guy in the middle of broad daylight in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Like, you can have, I'm sure there are many people who have had issues with health insurance companies, and that is You have a point, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But to celebrate the like cold blooded murder of a guy.
So this dude that killed the president there, he just didn't like the things that he was doing or how he was treating.
So that's a speculation. We don't know exactly.
He had a manifesto on him. Very convenient. Something smells fishy in Denmark or the ocean, whatever Courtney says.
Oh, you don't believe it?
I don't know. So he has a handwritten manifesto.
Mm-hmm.
The dude is like some kind of a software tech guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what 26-year-old is handwriting their manifesto? Wouldn't they put that online or...
Especially a guy that works a lot, and he was fascinated by AI and IT.
When he was arraigned yesterday, the only thing he objected to in court was the district attorney down there said he had $8,000 in cash on him and $2,000 in foreign currency. And the only thing that he protested in court at all was that he said that money was planted on him, that he didn't know where the money came from. Mm.
It also just seems weird that the same guy who would be able to escape New York City mm-hmm. without being caught after assassinating this guy in like broad daylight would then just be caught because somebody saw something at McDonald's. Why wouldn't he go through the drive-thru?
Also, like his parents, he was a valedictorian in high school, went mm-hmm. to
Penn,
went to good college universities, mm-hmm.
Worked at Stanford.
His parents didn't narc him out when they saw the picture, or his cousin is a lawmaker in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't alert authorities.
I think that might look like my cousin.
Like,
so did the CEO was of this healthcare company was in the kid's mind who shot him? Was he like, oh, he was murdering people because he wasn't giving them healthcare insurance?
Well, he said these parasites need to be taught a lesson or something in his manifesto. Okay. Parasites, plural, meaning I don't know if he was going to get more of them or what.
All right.
It's just, it's interesting.
Hmm. He was trying to be like, you know, hey, this guy's doing a front to all the, you know, Americans out there that are not able to get health care insurance and people are dying. I'm going to be a hero here. And
it just seems convenient. Like he was a huge fan of the Unabomber, apparently, Ted Kaczynski. And
all right.
I mean, I don't know.
Also, like, if you
what
wanted...
What is your son into? The Red Sox? No, the Unabomber. He loves the Unabomber.
All right.
What the hell?
I know. I don't know. What, Sean?
I just feel like if you wanted to be deemed a hero for murdering someone like this, like, you would be happy to take the credit for it. Like, that's the kind of ego you would want if you wanted to be a hero.
Well, but maybe that's like you said. Well, he was just in Pennsylvania willy-nilly, like, all right, I know when I get caught, I'm going to get caught. He didn't go down with a fight.
But why would he leave New York City?
It's not getting credit for it that he was worried about is that he didn't want to go pay the price for it.
Maybe he's trying to figure, like, can I get away with this? But if I do get caught, I'll take the
credit. But if you're trying to be the hero, you want your identity out there, Curtis.
But it was. Everybody saw the picture.
Yeah, I don't
know. but you want to be known as that guy.
And you also just are...
But you don't want to spend the rest of your life in jail.
And they didn't know his name before he got arrested.
But you're willing to murder a CEO of a healthcare company in cold blood on the streets of New York,
mm-hmm.
but you put up no fight whatsoever when the police show up at the McDonald's you're at? Like,
I think that's more of like, you know what, there's no need to do it. Like, I killed him, I don't want to die. There's a difference. You kill somebody, now you don't want to get into a shootout with the cops because you don't want to die. You still want to live, and you're like, I'll live the rest of my life in prison.
I mean, I saw they had a weapons expert on CNN last night who was saying, I know, Curtis, I was watching CNN. It was the only thing available.
You a big AC-360?
The weapon that they found, the ghost gun, does not appear to that expert to be the same one that was used in the shooting.
Oh, really?
At least when they were showing it. So I don't know. But
I would like to celebrate. We don't do it a lot, but we should. The law enforcement, New York.
Yes. Yes.
Is that the owner's daughter, Jessica Tisch? Must be. So Tisch owns the Giants.
Oh,
with
I don't
Mara.
Know. She's the commissioner of the New York Police.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's probably related in some way, but she was excellent at the press conference. And the amount of images. So every cab have these cameras,
yeah,
right. And the amount of time they had to go, and how fast they found that guy. When you consider the amount of cabs in New York, that are running all day, every day, that they were able to get that picture that quickly.
But the cameras nowadays, like you said, the fact that you do things in, like, you know, it wasn't broad daylight, but out in the open, there's so many cameras, sooner or later, they're going to be knocking on your door.
Yeah. Well, he will have a trial and maybe spend time in jail. Probably pissed that he wasn't able to get a snack wrap because they're not out yet. So he's probably going to miss the snack wraps. When is the return of the snack wraps? Is that in January?
I actually saw the CEO on ABC talking about it, and he was vague. He didn't want to give a date.
He didn't want to tell
when. He said it helps their competition if they announce when they're doing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. What, is the BK Lounge going to start snack wrapping it?
You know, you know that's why McDonald's abandoned Heinz ketchup, right?
No.
Well, because originally the corporation that bought Heinz ketchup was also the same corporation that had bought Burger King and brought Burger King back in like the mid-2000s. Yeah. And so McDonald's abandoned Heinz ketchup because they didn't want the guy who brought back their competition to be giving them ketchup.
Oh, shine. Very interesting.
Fun fact.
Fast food facts.
Guess where I learned that one, Greg.
Available at all times right off the top of your brain. One of those food shows that you watch?
TikTok.
Oh.
Okay. I'm sure it's right.
Thank you. All right, we got to take a break. We will get to the rest of the news with Scheim next, including science has apparently determined the Christmas song that is most dangerous to your health. So we'll get to that and the rest of the news next.